Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome to First Fruit Christian Ministries. We thank you for tuning in with us today. Thank God. God be the glory. He receives all the glory this day and forevermore. Thank you that you took time out your busy schedule and had church, to have church with us today here on First Fruit. And you are in for a treat, as always, today here on First Fruit. And our motto, our mission is that there's power in serving. So whatever you're doing today or tomorrow or this week, you know, find some way to serve in the capacity that God has bestowed upon you, you know, whatever. Make sure you make that happen. If you also, today is not a day that you call in. Today is a sermon day. So, you know, Tuesday is our Bible study day. You'll be able to call in on that day, but today you're going to hear a fresh word from on high. And we just thank God for the man of God that is called for this hour to deliver a powerful message. And as always, you're welcome here at any time. And let's get into the word today. Let's get into the word today. Brother Young.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Radio Land. We thank God for you. Thank God for everything for waking us up this morning. All that God bless you. I believe that God has a word for us today, Brother Chris. I believe that God has a rhema word for us to help us go through another moment, another minute, another hour, another day. We just thank God for his powerful, powerful word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, for this wonderful day that, God, you've given us that we've never seen before. We thank you, God, for your waking up power this morning, God, that you woke us up in our right minds, God. We thank you, God, for your love and your caring, God. You kept us, God, when the enemy tried to step us out last night. But, God, you kept us again, God. You kept away the death angels. And, God, we thank you, God, for your power, God. We thank you, God, right now for your anointing, God. And Lord, we ask, God, that you reach hearts right now, reach ears right now, in the name of Jesus, God. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing in the midst right now. Even when there's trouble time, God, you're right at the door, God. And we thank you, God, for all that you're going to do, God. We thank you for our families, God. We thank you for our friends, God. But most of all, God, we thank you for Jesus that died on the cross for us, God. Right now, God, we ask that you do something new in the supernatural, in the realm. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, already in advance for what you're going to do, God. And we thank you and believe you, God. And we just bless your name. We bless your name. All praises are to you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we ask that, God, that we, God, decrease ourselves and increase you, God, as the word comes forth today, God. And we just ask, God, that somebody receive. Let not your word go forth as the word says. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Well, with our hearts and minds clear this day, as God, prepares my brother to deliver a rhema word through my brother, let us be attentive to hear and in all things get understanding what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm excited about this morning, about what God is really speaking to our hearts this morning, and let's get into the word. But before we get into the word, let's have a scripture. It's going to come from the book of James. It's going to be the second verse. Let's see where we're going to conclude at. We're going to conclude at the fourth verse. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let peace, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for the reading of His words. We're just going to go right into the word of the Lord, today that God has given us. First I want to just thank Pastor Strawbridge for giving me the opportunity just to bring some word today. And we just thank God for just being faithful with His word. Today, really, we're just going to really talk about something that God has shared with me earlier this week about my people perish for the lack of knowledge. My people perishing because of the lack of knowledge. And at the same time, we're celebrating several things today. We're celebrating our History Month, our Black History Month. God gave me a word just to speak to not just our Black folks, but folks all the way across the board, white folks, Black folks, Mexican, whoever, have an ear and a receiving heart. I'm going to tell you a story real quick about this young man, a young boy, a young son that was born in Chicago, Illinois. I want y'all to stick with me now because I'm not going to prolong your time. I'm just going to give you something real quick. This boy was born in Chicago, Illinois, back in 1941, born July the 25th, 1941. His daddy's name was Lewis, and his mama's name was Mamie. Yeah, stick with me now. And the boy went down to Mississippi, a place called Money, Mississippi, for the summer. Went down there to be with his uncle, just to spend some time down there with his uncle. His name was Uncle Moses Wright. Mm-hmm. And this was during a time where we had Jim Crow and we had separate water fountains, separate bathrooms, and separate can ride on the bus up the front. We had to sit in the back and all that good stuff. But this boy was used to riding in front of the bus and was used to drinking from any water fountain he saw up in Chicago and was used to playing with Black folks and white folks. This boy wasn't used to the Jim Crow laws down that we had so prominent in the South. And so I'm going to make the story. The boy went down to the South down in Money, Mississippi, and was murdered. Was murdered by two white men. By a man named was J.W. Millam and Roy Bryant. And most of you know the story. The boy's name was Emmett Lewis Till. He was murdered back in 1955, August the 28th, by the hands of those two white gentlemen. And And it was a nationally known case. And some people call it a senseless killing. I call it a killing because there was a lack of knowledge. I believe that Emmett Till was not informed and was not given the ways of the South by his folks. The murder was just one of the most graphic murders they had ever seen in the South. They were used to hanging us, but this particular killing, the boy was only 14 years old, and when they found his body in Money, Mississippi, his eyes was gouged out, and he was cut with an axe, shot with a 45 in his ear, and then his body was drowned in the Tallahatchie River with a 45-pound cotton gin fan around his neck with barbed wire. I want to get it graphic because I want you to understand that lack of knowledge can lead you in places that you won't want to be in, can do things to you just because you don't know. Nothing came of these two men. They went to trial, and they didn't serve a day in prison because for killing this boy. They didn't serve a day in prison. They was found not guilty. And later on in that year, they did an article with the magazine, and they admitted to the killing. But they didn't serve not a day in prison. So the question came up to me, why was Emmett Till murdered? Why did he get killed? And I was thinking that because a lot of us, even today, we get in predicaments or we get in trouble because of the lack of knowledge. If I could, Brother Chris, could you find Hosea 4 and 16 for me and read that for me, please?
Hosea 4 and 16. Let me go. 16th verse, sir, and it reads, here we go. It says, for Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country.
Mm-hmm.
That's Hosea
okay.
4 and 6.
And then read the
4 and 6.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was 4 and 16. Oh, here we go. It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Read the first sentence again.
Okay. The first sentence is, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
My people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And if I could just expand on that just for a little bit today. Till was killed because of the lack of knowledge. The knowledge on both sides. Nobody informed him how they did things down in the South, close to the Tallahatchie River, down in Mississippi. And at the same time, on the men that killed him, they weren't informed that he was just an innocent child doing what he did up in Chicago, wasn't trying to disrespect nobody. But because of they didn't know and he didn't know, Emmett Till is dead today. And as I look today, man, we're going through the same thing. And we're going through the same thing. I look out here and I see our young brothers going through the same thing. We look at some instances happened over the years, Trayvon Martin from the hands of George Zimmerman and Michael Brown out of Fergus, Missouri, and brothers like Eric Garner that up in New York saying that he was being choked out and he couldn't breathe. We go name after name, brother after brother, And at the same time, our people are dying because of the lack of knowledge, and lack of knowledge on both ends. God is wondering, when will my people yield to him? And when will my people yield to his word? I was thinking just the other day, none of these young boys' killers have never been served a day in jail for the death of their victims. And it's kind of heart-wrenching to always hear about our young brothers and sisters always caught in gunfire just because of the lack of knowledge. But the Lord sent me here today for a word for you, because there's going to be a time, there's going to be a day when things are going to change around. The Bible says that the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. It's going to be a day where what used to be okay ain't going to be okay no more. That you're going to be held accountable before the things you do and the things you know and the things you don't know. And I was thinking about when police officer down in Charleston, South Carolina, shot Walter Scott in the back and was acquitted of all charges, set free. Freddie Gray out of Maryland, out of Baltimore, broken neck and died in the hands of the police officers. Nobody served a day in prison. Officers once again set free. And we got to understand that we can't be doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. We got to understand that there has to be a change. And we wonder why, when will the church make a change? When will saved folks make a change? When will the Christians rise and take their proper place in life and make a change? Brother Chris, read Matthew, find Matthew for me, Matthew 11, 28 and 29. And we're going to just talk a little bit. Matthew 11, 28 and 29.
Yes. Matthew 11, 28. You say 28 and 29?
Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Yes, sir.
Okay. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen?
Amen. We're coming to a point now in life where we're tired of the same old, same old. And there is no answers to what we do in the natural. But God is sitting, standing right here waiting for you to turn it over to him. He's standing right here in the gap saying, I'm still the answer. I've been the answer all the time. But we continuously get caught up in not being prepared and not having the knowledge and wondering why, me, and how this happened, because we haven't totally, and sometimes not even totally, but not even begun to give it to Christ. Now, as I was thinking the other day, this being our historically Black History Month, it seems like sometimes we are the last, and we're not the first. And I was asking God, why does it seem like we're being persecuted so much throughout the media, and why do we seem like we're catching hell on both ends?
Mm-hmm.
God told me, he told me in a clear voice, until we humble ourselves, until we turn away from our wicked ways, until we recognize who he is, until we stop playing church and be the church, until we love him, then we love these things in life, until we realize that he's a jealous God, and he wants no other God before him, until we can surrender all to him, until we can recognize that God should be and shall be the first in our lives, we will always be the tail and not the head. We have to realize we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect something different. It's the time to wake up and see who God really is. But it's the time to wake up and say, I can't keep doing this same routine that I've been doing. I'm dying doing the same thing. I have to do something different to make it something different in my life. I can't keep saying the same rhymes and same agenda day after day because it's killing me. It's not just killing me now, but it's killing me spiritually. And one thing I found about the enemy, he don't care if you have a routine. All he wants you to do is die. And die, not just die, but wants you to die in your sins. And wants you to die not knowing Christ as your Savior. He wants you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep on playing. Keep on just doing the boogaloo. Do whatever you want to do, but just do not turn this thing over to Christ. But the Bible tells me this. He's sitting here on the right. God is sitting here waiting for us to confess and come to him and start a new beginning. He's waiting for us, man, to come here and say, Lord, I'm done with the old. I want the new to come out of me. I want you to fill me, God. Fill me with your love and your spirit and your understanding. But most of all, God, I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. But I can live this life and not live it as a tail but the head. And as I was looking, man, and as I was kind of pondering, like, what is really going on? The world doesn't care about you nor me. And what we need to realize is that Jesus died and gave it all on the cross for us. He's one that cares about us. That we is so big and so enormous how much he loves and cares for us that it will blow your mind. You talk about that your homeboy got your back. I see it firsthand. Your homeboy got your back all the time. Your homegirl got your back all the time. But I know that I know that Christ has your back and your front all the time. He's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for you and I right as we speak. When the enemy tries to knock you out, take you out, kill you, he's shearing all the death angels. He's shearing you right now in the name of Jesus with the blood of Christ right now. The only reason that you woke up this morning is because of Jesus. Not because you done so much that you dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's. Not because that you did such a great thing yesterday. But because of the grace of God and his mercy woke us up this morning. And we thank God for his grace and his mercy and his love and his understanding. And when we think that we've done it all, God said, I'm going to take it even further. And right now, my heart went out to the brothers and sisters that have their lives have been cut short. And we look at the folks that hasn't been cared for. And we got folks that's killing folks, man, and not spending a day in prison. And we sit around, we're doing the same thing day after day, week after week, month after month. Watch this. Year after year, and we always say, well, we're getting better, but it's not getting better because we're not doing nothing different. We're doing the same thing. You hear me, Brother Chris? We're doing the same thing. We ain't doing nothing different. We're talking a big game. We're talking a good game. But we're in the same boat we were in last year and the year before. We're talking a good game, but we ain't changed our ways. We haven't done anything. And God is still waiting and waiting and waiting. When will you change your ways? When will you get the knowledge and understanding? When will you really sell out to me? When will you love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? When will you love me like that? When will you love me till it hurts? At the same time, we're wondering what's going on with the world. I can tell you what's going on with the world. We got more mouth service and actually heart and hand service. We'll talk, but we won't walk. We'll sing, but we won't bring. And we'll do these things over and over and over. But the Bible tells me that we reap what we sow. You don't put in none, ain't nothing coming up. You don't put nothing in the ground, ain't no plants coming up. And I feel that God is calling out a change right now. He's calling out a change to the church. He's talking to the church. He's talking to his folks right now. He wants us to serve. He wants us to be full of knowledge. He wants us to study and show ourselves approved. He wants us, man, to get on our face. He wants us, man, to sometimes just come together as one and get on one accord and come with the mission and come, man, in victorious fashion and get a I can do attitude through Christ Jesus. Get a man a spirit of servitude that I'd rather for me to do instead of you do for me. Get an attitude of Jesus where I can feed instead of you eat all the time. Get an attitude where I can do instead of people doing for you all the time. Get an attitude where I can learn as much as I can with Christ instead of me just listening to the rap videos and Facebook and Twitter and putting all the garbage in our minds. Get into the word of God. Get into this word of him that he can change us. Change my attitude. Change my heart. Change the way I live. Change the what I do. Change how I treat people. The more Christ get into you, the more you can be Christ-like. And Christ is calling us out. He's calling us out. Listen to me. Watch this. He's calling me out. He's calling me out. He's putting me on the carpet. He's putting Brother Henry on the carpet. What about you? Have you done all you can do? Are you doing all you can do? Are you praying more? Are you fasting more? Are you studying more? Are you loving more? Are you being patient, such as I'm teaching James more? Are you being patient with folks? He's calling Henry out. He's also calling you out. The Bible says he chastised the one he loves.
Yes, sir.
It's time for all this talking to be ceased and start walking with the truth. I tell folks all the time, the word is like a two-edged sword. It's cutting going, and it's cutting coming. What that means is that it's cutting me off, so. And what I'm telling you is telling me it's time to sell out to Christ. What you've been doing ain't been working. The knowledge you've been missing is killing us. The knowledge you ain't putting inside, the knowledge that you are putting inside, ain't worth nothing. It's killing us. God wants to do a fresh anointing, a fresh beginning, a brand new start. It's time out for us just to be in the land, the line to be slaughtered as sheep. We're in a line just being slaughtered as sheep day after day, week after week. We're in the same rut. Emmett Till, this happened in 1955. They are killing folks in 2017. The same thing is happening. Something has to change. And I believe in my heart, the only thing that can change us is the word of God. We need to eat it daily, regurgitate it over and over until we're not just eating it, but we're living it. I'm talking to myself now. Come on, talk to me, Holy Ghost. We need to eat this thing and believe that God is who he said he is. Time off for church, just plan church. Got your best suit on, got your Nino Cerulli on in your Botany 500, wearing your little Leslie Faye dresses and your little high heel shoes and got your nice look coat on, your little hat on it. You're looking the part real good. But the enemy is laughing because he said that there is no power in your appearance. There is no power in your style. And there is no power in your talk. And one thing I found out about
The enemy will let you look good, let you smell good, and even let you talk good. But until you begin to walk in Christ and with the anointing in your life, that's what the enemy can't stand. When you start talking about Jesus, walking with Jesus, preaching about Jesus, doing for Jesus, serving for Jesus, that's when the enemy gets nervous. But anything else, he'll party with you all day long. Talking to you, Brother Young, talking to myself. This thing is like a two-edged sword, and it's coming tight, but I know it's right. I know I used to always say, there is no gray area. There is no gray area with the word. Either you love me or you hate me. Either you're going up or you're going down. Either there's a heaven or there's a hell. Either you're going to turn or you're going to burn. Either you're a saint or you're a sinner. Either you're with God or you're not with him. Either that you're saved or you're unsaved. There is no gray area with this. And listen to this. Watch this. What is happening is that we are living in the gray area. We are on the fence. We are on the fence. I'm talking to Brother Henry now. Even if ain't nobody else out there, I'm talking to Brother Henry now. Even sometime when you debate whether or not you're going to do right, the enemy says, I already got you debating whether you're going to do right. God is willing for somebody, looking for somebody to be sold out. Sold out. And it starts right with you. It starts right here. It starts right here. You ain't got to go nowhere. It starts right here. God is saying, you're perishing because of the lack of knowledge. You're dying because you don't know the word. You're leaving here. You're leaving planet Earth. You're leaving quickly because you didn't know, and nobody told you. We should be crying out. Matter of fact, Brother Christian, can you find Luke 14 and 23? Find that for me, bro. 14 and 23. Luke 14 and 23. Yes, sir. Find that for me, bro. Find that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
Thank you, Luke. And it reads, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house
may be filled. Stop right there. And do what the brother Chris tell? What did he say do?
And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Well, I'm going to show you what highways and hedges mean. Highways mean broad, where it's in the open. Hedges mean even the ones that's being hid away where you can't see them. He says, I want you to go out and openly where everybody is at. And then I want you to get down dirty. I want you to go over them places where you won't go. Them people, they hide it behind the bushes, behind the hedges.
Yes,
I want
sir.
You to hit them spots,
yes,
too.
Sir.
I want you to compel them. Compel me. I want you to yell out. I want you to scream to them that God is the way and everything else is destruction. I want you to be like it's yourself that you're telling, giving a warning to. Because it's showing, the media is showing that we are dying. We are dying. We are dying. And God has already told you, get out of your comfort zone and get into the attitude of serving and doing. Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. And as you're telling them, do something. Do something.
No.
We're just sitting here as lame ducks. do something for somebody. Show them your love. Show them God's love through you. Do something. We've been picked off like doggone ducks in a pond. We've been picked off by the enemy, killing us day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Do something. Get out there. Get out your car. Get out your house. Get out your room. Get out your comfort zone. Get out the box and do something. Somebody got to tell somebody something. We are dying. We are frustrated. We are miserable. We're living life in a rut. And we're wondering why God, when am I going to get a breakthrough? When God, am I going to get a release? When God, will I be the head, not the tail? When God, will I get an answer? We got to do something, church. We got to wake up and do something. Tell something. I always say, tell this, because you tell everything else. Tell this. You tell everything else. You get on Facebook and Twitter and TV and everything else. Tell this. Want to talk
yes,
about
sir.
Something?
Yes, sir.
Talk about everybody. Talk about everything else. Tell this. And when you're telling, help somebody. It's nice to be nice. It's loving to be loved. Do something that God may be pleased. And if you don't know how to do something, ask somebody. I mean, because we're getting picked off, bro, Chris. We're dying, man, and it's actually what it's doing is vexing me. It is calling me out to do more.
And
we have to do more. I mean, you can't get no more direct than that when he says he wants you to get into the highways and the hedges and compel them. Wow. I mean, scream out to them that the bridge is out. And if you go that way, you're going to go down into the water and drown. The bridge is out. Don't go that way. The road is out. Do not go that way.
Our
people are perishing. Our people are dying. Our people are suffering. And God is saying, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. I know somebody's tired. I know somebody listening to me. I know somebody's tired of doing the same thing. I know somebody's tired of sending these senseless deaths. Somebody's tired, man, of being broke and depressed all the time. Somebody's tired of being sick all the time. Somebody's tired, man, just tired of being tired. Tired of being wanting to give up. Somebody out there is just tired. Well, God is ready to say, hey, let me do a new thing in your life. Today. Through the Word. Through the Word. Today. And he's calling you out. Today. Right now, some of our brothers and sisters dying, feeling hopeless. It's enough of our people giving up, turning to drugs, turning to prostitution, anything that can get their hands on. It's enough of all of that. It's enough of our families being broken up through divorce, through tragic. It's enough of that, man, just like I give up, and I just want to die. It's enough of that. We as brothers and sisters in Christ got to start reaching out and believing that God can change the atmosphere. God can do it. Yes, he can. He can change the atmosphere. He can change the way that your life is going. And all he's done is just try me. Try it. Try him today. Try him. Stop doing what we've been doing and try him. Try something new. Try him today. Oh, in the name of try him. I know your heart sometimes is heavy, like, Lord, when will it end? When will the bottom begin? When can I do something new? I'm tired. I'm tired of the same thing, Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday, the same thing over and over and over and over. Lord, I'm tired inside. I'm tired inside. My spirit, my body, my mind is tired inside. I want to do something new. I'm tired of seeing this instant death, this killing. I'm tired of being the last and not the first. Lord, I'm tired. Looking for a breakthrough. God is giving it to you today. God is calling all you that are heavily laden, all you that are burdened down. He said, I'll take all that from you. I give you rest, but rest is needed. I give you peace. I give you joy. I give you love. Most of all, I give you some salvation. It'll be a shame to live all these years. I always say this, to live in hell and to die and go to hell. To live through all this torment on this earth and die and be tormented for forever. It'll be a shame to never know the Savior as your Father, Lord of Lords, host of hosts. But He's calling you out today. He's asking you, will you come in? Will you receive Him right now? Will you receive Him? Brother Chris, pray for us, Chris. Pray for us, Brother Chris. Pray for us, Brother.
Father God, we just thank you today, Lord God.
Yes, God.
We thank you that everything that you have laid on my brother's heart, Lord God, and spoken and through him, Lord God, that it touched heart, Lord God. Not only did it touch hearts, Lord God, it changed hearts, Lord God, towards the heal which cometh our help, Lord God. Lord God, we just thank you for being the same every day, Lord God.
Yes, God.
And Lord God, we will persevere, Lord God. We will persevere and we will walk towards the light and be just like thee, Lord God. For you left us the greatest example of all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who died for our sins and our transgressions and resides on the right hand.
Yes, God.
That's in always in intercession, praying for us and asking God to have mercy upon our souls. Jesus, we thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord God, we thank you this morning, Lord God, for the rhema word that was brought forth, Lord God, in humility, Lord God.
Yes, God.
We thank you for it. We thank you for the man of God that just brought the word, Lord God, and he did it, Lord God, because you had called him to this. And, Lord God, what a blessing to be called to do a work for you, Lord God, to serve in this capacity, just one of many, Lord God. And, Lord God, everything that was mingled out my brother, Lord God, we restore it back, Lord God. Replenish his citrons, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Yes.
From his head to the crown of his head, the very soul of his feet. Restore, Lord God. Restore, Lord God. That we might eat bread again.
Yes.
Lord God, we thank you this day forevermore. And on this day that you've given us, Lord God, you be blessed.
Yes.
Lord God, we thank you. We praise
thank
you.
You.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Also, family, we just thank you for tuning in with us here on First Street. Our ministry and our whole purpose is to serve. And that which Brother Henry really did give us a treat today, not only a treat, Lord God, but a blessing that he just he allowed the Spirit of God to move and to say what the Holy Spirit wanted to say to us. And we thank him for being submissive enough to deliver a powerful message from on high. Also, family, we just want to thank you for continuing to tune in with us and everything. We just want to be humble and do what best that the Lord has called us to do. So, those of you that looking for a church home, if God is leading you and guiding you to First Fruit Ministries,
welcome, welcome. But first and foremost, the first business is, are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved? That's the first mission. Regardless of joining in the ministry, the first mission is, are you saved?
Yes.
And let me tell you, coming into the knowledge of God and not just being saved, but being rooted and grounded in the God word, that's the most important part.
Amen.
But today we want to get you saved. We want you to be saved. We want you to, your resting place to be for eternal glory in the heavens with Christ.
Yes.
Because one day that's what I want to be. I want to be with Him one day. You know, let me tell you, hell is real, man. You know, there's no good behavior. You don't get out for good behavior in hell. You don't have no parole. What's your parole date in hell? That's eternal. That's eternal life there, you know. So if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and transgressions, and He resided with the hell, rocked hell, came back, arose on the third day, and resides on the right hand of the Father, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then we here in First Fruit Ministry want to be the first ones to welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now.
Yeah, right there.
And
right there.
We encourage you to get to a local ministry. Or if God is calling you, now this is time for the, you know, everything be done decent or now. If God is calling you to be with us here on First Fruit Ministry, we are in the Augusta area. Welcome. Just email us at revstraw@gmail.com or Henry H. Young. At gmail.com.
Amen.
And for counseling or a word or, you know, we're here for that. And if you want to join, we're here. But
Amen.
Brother Henry, there again, I just want to thank God for you for delivering a powerful message, man. Thank God in you to deliver that powerful message, because that was much needed, greatly needed.
Hey, brother, you know, God has been so good and He's been so faithful to us. We just want to always share it. We thank God for you. We thank God. Until next time, brother. Be blessed.
Until next time.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Amen. Amen. It's in our back.